Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 25. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and who had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" And this is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are many other things that Jesus did, and were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, we come to you now as your children, and we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus that you would speak to us now. Amen. In our text today, in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning in verse 15, we find ourselves in a familiar place. We find ourselves surrounded around a campfire on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, where it all began for the disciples. The Sea of Galilee, where at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus came announcing good news to the poor and the powerless. The Sea of Galilee, where he first called his disciples, who were fishermen, but he would call them to be fishers of men. And on this particular day, it is a particularly fitting text for today, because we find ourselves on the other side of the resurrection. The Lord Jesus has gone before his disciples, defeating sin, death, and the grave. And so why do we find ourselves sitting around a campfire? Why do we find ourselves today on the Sea of Galilee? The work is finished, after all. But Jesus needs to have one more conversation. He needs to have one more conversation with the one who has been with him from the beginning of his ministry. He needs to have one more conversation with Peter. Because Jesus is about to go, and Peter has a ministry ahead. Peter is growing up. Peter is growing up. When I was a young boy, my family and I, we would go to Knoxville every Thanksgiving. See, my grandparents are here today. And I had an aunt who would greet me in the same way every time we went up to Knoxville. And she would always walk through the door around 11 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, and she would look down at me, and she would say, "Well, look at you. You're all grown up." And I never really knew what to do with that, you know. But, you know, I found myself saying it recently. Our friends Sal and John Ellen just had a baby, and we went to visit in the hospital, little Lydia. And we don't see her for a little bit, and then we see her again after a couple months, and the words just, they just fall out of my mouth. "Look at you. You're all grown up." And you see, growing up, it's this thing that happens to you. And you look back and you see that it's happened, but you don't quite realize it's happening in the moment. But sometimes you do. Sometimes you might sit down at these pivotal moments in your life, transitions, deaths, weddings, and you might sit down with a grandfather or a mentor. And you sit down and have that conversation and you realize, I'm growing up. And you see, that's what's happening in our text today, is that Jesus needs to have one more conversation with Peter because he can see what's coming. And Peter is growing up. And Jesus needs Peter to know three things. Jesus needs Peter to know three things before he goes. And the first is that he's not going to give up on him. The second is that he has gone before him. And the third is that he's worth everything. He's not going to give up on him. He's gone before him, and he's worth everything. So if you'll turn to the text with me now today, we'll begin in verse 15. Jesus is not going to give up on Peter. It said that when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Why is Jesus asking Peter these questions? Why ask Peter a question like, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Because on the night before Jesus was betrayed, Peter had made a statement in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 26, and he said, "Even if the rest of these fall away, I will still love you. I will be with you to the end." But as that night progressed and Jesus was taken into captivity, as he went before into trial, Peter following close behind, and a servant girl came up to Peter and said, "Aren't you one of his disciples? Do you know him?" And Peter said, "No. No, no, no." And again, a second time. And again, a third time. Peter had denied the Lord who has given his life for him. And so why does Jesus ask Peter these questions here? Because Jesus is not giving up on Peter. Jesus is restoring Peter. Jesus is asking these questions to Peter so that Peter can see who he is. And in seeing who he is, he can see who the Lord Jesus is. The Lord Jesus is one who will not give up on Peter. And so when he calls Peter here, he says, Simon, son of John. Simon, son of John. And in Peter's head, this would have snapped back to a moment earlier on the Sea of Galilee when he was fishing in a boat. When Jesus first said, Simon, son of John, follow me. And you see, maybe that's why Jesus is walking here on the Sea of Galilee today. Maybe that's why here he calls him Simon, son of John. Because Peter's mind is racing, what does God think about me now? What does my Lord think about me now? I knew what he thought about me when he first called me. But now, after I have denied my Lord three times, what about now? And I wonder if you remember your baptism this morning. If you remember the first time that you walked down the aisle. If you remember the first time someone shared the gospel with you in a biology class. Do you remember what God thought about you then? And here, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of John. And he wants Peter to know that he is not giving up on him. You see, Peter thought growing up looked like a lot of different things. Initially, Peter thought growing up looked like being the most zealous follower of Jesus. He thought it looked like taking the kingdom by force as he cut off the priest's ear when they tried to take Jesus. But you see, when Peter sees that Jesus is not going to give up on him, growing up takes on a different kind of meaning for Peter. Because if he has a Lord that's not going to give up on him, if Jesus, even despite his denial, is not giving up on Peter, growing up means coming back to him again and again and again. You see, Jesus has taken Peter on a 3-year journey, all the way back around and to the start again, just to see it clearly for the first time. Simon, son of John, follow me. I'm not giving up on you. I have chosen you, and you have work to do. Simon, son of John. Martin Luther says it like this. He says the whole life is one of repentance, where we just come back again and again and again, because the Lord, what he does is he takes us on these journeys and he reveals to us that we were never sufficient to be called children of God, but yet he has called us anyways. And so we come back to the Lord again and again and again because he's not going to give up on us. He has work for us to do. Saint Benedict says it like this, always, every time we begin again and we begin again. Jesus is not going to give up on Peter, and so growing up looks like coming back to him again and again. And Jesus has gone before Peter. If you will look with me in the text, verse 18. Jesus has gone before Peter. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And this he said to Peter to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Those are heavy words. Follow me, Peter. Follow me in life. Follow me in death. Follow me. But who is the one speaking these words to Peter? His Lord, who has gone before him, even unto death, looked death square in the eyes and gotten up on the other side of the grave. You see, the resurrected Christ has gone before Peter. He is not leading Peter into mere death and destruction. He is leading Peter into everlasting life. You see, Peter is growing up. And for most of us, when we think about growing up, we think about growing up into adulthood. We think about growing up into self-sufficiency. We think about growing up the same way the rest of the world thinks about growing up. We're just becoming individuals. We're becoming older. But when Jesus speaks to us, when Jesus talks to Peter here, he realizes that growing up means growing into childhood. Peter is growing up, and Jesus is calling him into sonship. To be a son, a daughter of the King of Kings. And you see, this is what the gospel is. That when we were enemies of God, he called us sons. And you see, the world, it's so hard to see and hear clearly the voice of God when he calls us sons. And it's a hard turnover to happen in your soul, to grow into sonship, to grow into being a son or daughter of the King. Because if you look with me in verse 18, the world would say that dressing yourself and walking wherever you want to go is a pretty good thing. But what Jesus is saying to Peter here is life is actually found when someone else dresses you and takes you where you do not want to go. And there's a painfulness and there's a paradox. You see, it's death and it's resurrection. You see, what Jesus is doing with Peter here is he's calling him into sonship, and that means killing the parts of him that are not a son and creating parts in him that are worthy to be an eternal son, that these momentary moments of affliction are worth nothing compared to the glory that is to be revealed to Peter. But what Jesus is calling Peter here to, what does it mean to be called into sonship? It's not to be childish. Jesus is not asking Peter not to look at the death that is ahead of him. He's not asking him not to realize the absolute gruesomeness of calling someone to come and die in service of him. That's not what he's doing. He's not asking for naive optimism. He's not asking to say the world is not evil. He's saying, I see all of that, and I am asking you, Peter, to follow me. You see, this is what it is to be a child of God, is to trust in the promise of God. And you see, Peter has a Lord who has gone before him in this. His older brother, the one who's having the conversation with him right now, who's calling him to follow him when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. You see, he's starving and he's offered bread. And the world would say, that's a really good idea to take that bread. He's offered the kingdoms of the world. And you see, when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, he gets on his knees and he prays to his Father, if there's any other way for this to happen, But Lord, if not, then your will be done. And Jesus has even gone before him, even to the cross. And as he hung on the cross, the people cry out, can this man who saved others not save himself? You see, this thing, it's a hard saying, this call to sonship, because it's foolishness in the eyes of the world. But the thing is that 1 Corinthians tells us that the Son of God has gone before us and that his righteousness is now our righteousness. And although that righteousness looks like foolishness in the eyes of the world, brothers and sisters, it's so far from that. How could this be the kind of death that glorifies God? This is what Christ is asking Peter to follow him even unto death, because, brothers and sisters, to be a son of God is to be someone who is weak and someone who the Lord is showing his strength through. This is the meat that the writer of Hebrews talks about. This is hard to chew. But Jesus has gone before Peter. And so growing up looks like becoming a child of God. Jesus has gone before him, and growing up looks like becoming a child. And at this point, I had many questions reading this text, and I wonder if you do too. Peter sure did. It's at this point that most commentators think that at this point in the conversation, Jesus and Peter get up on their own, and they start to walk around the lake, the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus first called Peter. And as they start to walk around the lake, John starts to get up and follow them. And so if you look with me in verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, following them. The one who had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? And so Peter looks back at him and says to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And this is all of us, isn't it? As we look to the right and to the left, as some of us leave this place, Lord, what about him? And you see, the inclination of the heart, what the flesh does is it clings to anything it can to run from the Word of God. What about this man? And it's the word that's killing the old man and making the new man. It's the word that spoke in the beginning and said, let there be light, and there was light. It's the word that will stand forever and all else fades. And when it meets the heart wants to cower in fear. But yet the word comes to us, and here it is. If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You see, Peter here, in this conversation with Jesus, he's seen that his sin isn't going to be a problem. That the Lord is not going to give up on him. And yes, he is called to repent from it and to turn from it, but the Lord has forgiven it. You see, he's seen that he has work to do. The Lord has called him to go and feed his sheep. He's seen that death itself isn't going to be a problem, because he's standing looking at the risen Christ right in front of him. And yet, when the word comes to him, what about this man? So friends, rather than kicking and screaming when this word comes to us, let us come to the throne of grace find help in our time of need. For our older brother Jesus is a great high priest who has gone before us. He's not going to give up on you. He knows what it is to pray, Lord, if there is any other way. But if not, Lord, then let your will be done. And you see, there's a singularity to the call that Jesus is giving to Peter here. And the same is true of all of us today. That the Lord has a plan, not just for his people, but for you. You follow me. And this follow me, it looks different for everybody. It might mean moving back to that hometown that you don't really want to go to take care of your grandmother who's not doing so well. It might mean moving to the other side of the globe with a newborn baby to share the gospel. It might mean moving to that side of town that nobody really wants to go to provide medical care to people who nobody really wants to be with. You see, follow me is the call here. And when we think about leaving it all to follow Christ, a lot of us think of the story of the rich young ruler. But friends, I don't think that's really Peter's dilemma here. You see, Peter has been walking with John for 3 years following the Lord. And you see, follow me is not just a call to give up on the worldly possessions. It's a call to follow Christ. And sometimes that means separating from the brothers and sisters that you love so dearly. Good people who you've walked with for 3 years. And yet the word of the Lord comes to us now and says, follow me. It'll all be worth it in the end. You see, Jesus is not going to give up on Peter. He has gone before him and he's worth everything. And he's not done yet. If you look at me in verse 25, there are many other things that Jesus did. And were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And you see, the text here, it's talking about other things in Jesus' ministry. But the reality is that it's the risen Christ here who's talking to Peter, the risen Christ who now sits at the right hand of God. And he's still working. And he's writing a book out of every one of your lives. And friends, when all of our days are done, when we have left all to follow Christ, we will all meet again in the new heavens and in the new earth. And there we will all be children of God. And the Lord Jesus will wipe away every tear from your eye. And when you walk in, he'll look at you and say, look at you. You're all grown up. I'll see you there.